Let us take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter number 1, and in just a moment, we will begin reading in verse number 46 and all the way down to verse number 55. Well, I want to thank you for being here today, and I know during the winter time in Ohio, it can be like this a little bit. It seems like, I know last year, it seemed like every Sunday for 3 or 4 weeks it snowed every Sunday morning. And it just seemed to kind of get on the cycle like that. But I'm glad that you're here, and I'm thankful that we can still have church and we can still worship the Lord. And what a blessing it is. I know others were not able to be here. We have people in the hospital, people that are sick and at home. I'm thankful that you can be here today. You know, this season of the year is a joyful time. And it is a time that we get to be with family and friends, and it is a time for great rejoicing. But for some people, it is not a joyful time. In the midst of your joy, in the midst of your just a blessing to be with your family, we need to remember that there are people this year that maybe this is their first year without their husband. Or the first year without their wife at Christmas time. Or the first year without their son or their daughter or a grandchild. Or it could have been this is the first year without a grandparent. You see, even during this time of the year, Christmas time really for some people is not a joyful time. But brethren, if we understand what Christmas is really all about, we can have joy this morning in spite of all the adverse circumstances around us. In fact, we live in a society today that has made us believe that to have true joy, then you have to have all of your circumstances right. For instance, it has been ingrained in our society today that you need certain things to really make you happy. And by the way, joy and happiness are two totally different things. Do you know that you can have a life filled with terrible things happening to you and still have and possess the joy of the Lord? This week I was in nursing homes where you go to visit someone in a nursing home, and everything that they own in life is come down to that one little room. There's a few clothes in their closet, and the closet is not very big. They have a bed under them that really does not belong to them. There's a few certain items in the room, and that's just about it. That's all that they have left in life. And if they are equating their joy with things, they will never have joy. What about someone that their loved one has already gone home to be with the Lord this year? And now they come to Christmas time and that someone is not there in their life. If they equate their joy with someone, they will never have joy. In fact, for some people, and we know that at Christmas time, it's the largest or the highest suicide rate in America at Christmas time. And why is it? Because it should be a time filled with joy. It should be a time of rejoicing. But if you and I are only looking at our circumstances, we are only looking at our financial situation or maybe a family situation, then our joy will escape us. But this morning, I want us to notice the true joy of Christmas. What is the true joy of Christmas? In fact, do you know that when Jesus came to be born in a manger, it was not necessarily a happy time? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. Jesus being born in a barn, was that happy? Was Mary happy about Jesus being born in a barn? I don't think so. Was it a happy time because of the journey that Joseph and Mary had to make? Can you imagine Mary making a long journey on the back of an animal to get to where they were supposed to be, and the baby was born at somewhat of an untimely birth? Was Mary happy about the birth, the timing of the baby Jesus? I don't believe so. In fact, we know that the Bible tells us that Simeon prophesied that Mary, a sword would pierce her soul. Now, I know what it is to be in the hospital room and for the little baby to be born. Hey, it is a happy time. But for Mary, do you know that Mary would bear the reproach and the shame of bearing baby Jesus into this world? And she would know what other people would never know. She would deal with the misunderstanding of people. But Mary would know because she pondered those things in her heart. So, brethren, in a sense, it was not necessarily a happy time, but there was no greater joy than the day that Jesus was born in this world. And brethren, today I want to speak to you on the true joy of Christmas. Where do we find it? Now, when we come to Luke chapter number 1, I want us to begin in verse number 46. Mary has just been told that she's going to have a baby. But Mary knows that she has not been with a man. She's a spouse. She's engaged to Joseph. But Joseph knows they have not been together. And Mary has been told that she is going to bring forth the Son of God into this world. But Mary has rejoicing in her heart. There is joy in her heart, even with the nighttime. You see, brethren, we can still have a song in the night. Yesterday, as I was thinking about this message, I thought about people that I visited this week. In fact, Barb Hildebrand's in the hospital. She had surgery this morning early. She was supposed to have surgery on Friday, but they were not able to do it. And I prayed with her and spent time with her. And boy, tears came down her face as she was crying. And her health has been pretty tough. I can take you to a nursing home where you meet people and see people in the nursing home. They are there and they sleep most of the day. Their body is withering away. And they're there by themselves, not in their home, not in the comforts of what you and I would enjoy. And I think to myself, can they have joy? Oh, they may not be happy of their circumstances. They may not be happy where they are at. They may not be happy with their body condition. But they can still have joy. Because if you and I understand the true meaning of joy and the true meaning of Christmas, we'll see it here this morning. Mary begins to rejoice. And notice what she says in Luke chapter 1. We begin in verse number 46. The Bible says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Would you notice here as we continue to read from verse 48 to 55, can you see what Mary talks about God? Can you see that she gets her eyes on God? She lifts up the attributes of God. Notice what the Bible says in verse 48. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Now here is a young lady that is just been told that she is going to bear the baby Jesus into this world. She's going to deal with some things. She'll deal with them for the rest of her life. She had already submitted to the will of God. She had already said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She has said, "Lord, I take this. Lord, yes, I will bear the Lord Jesus into this world. Yes, people will misunderstand. Yes, people will talk and speak about me." And I'm sure Mary lost a lot of friends because of this, because people assumed the wrong thing about Mary. But Mary said, "I want to rejoice in God, and let's look on God. Let's talk about Him." That's what Mary did here. You see, brethren, the true joy of Christmas is not just in what's under the tree. I've been in homes this week, and every home that I go into, there's a Christmas tree there, and there's presents under the tree. I remember this week in chapel, I had just the K-5 through the sixth grade in chapel, and I asked many of them, how many have presents under the tree? Boy, their hands went up, you know. They were talking about that. How many has shaken your present? And all of them raised their hand. We've shaken our presents. And they're excited about their presents and all of that. And, you know, to a child, the thought of Christmas is gifts and opening the gifts and playing with the gifts and getting off of school and all of that. But, brethren, can I ask you something? What is the true joy of Christmas? Is it the gift giving or the gift receiving? Is it the time of fellowship that we have with friends and family? Those are joyous times. Those are wonderful times. But brethren, what if there are no presents under the tree? And what if there is no family left to fellowship with? What if there is no joy or happiness in the home? What if the body is racked with pain? What if you just received a report from the doctors that is bleak and doesn't look good? What if you lost your loved one? And what if all of these things that we would say are bad, things or troubling things have happened, can we still have joy? Absolutely. You see, the joy is not found in what we possess as far as material possessions, because, brethren, one day we will lose all of those things. We'll not have them anymore. What if you lose all of your family? Brethren, if the Lord tarries his coming, we will lose our family to death or to some disease or whatever it may be. We will lose all of those things. But brethren, I got news for you today. You and I can never lose the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the true joy of Christmas. You know, there's lots of fun and exciting things. And when I was in chapel and I was asking the kids what they wanted for Christmas, it's amazing what some of them kids want for Christmas, you know. And I'm sad to say some of them are going to be disappointed, you know. And one little girl raised her hand and said, I would like a robot that cleans my room, you know. That's what she wanted for Christmas, you know. Maybe someone want a robot to eat their vegetables for them or something, you know, or take care of different things like that. And one boy said, I'd like a Corvette for Christmas, you know. And I said, buddy, I don't know about that, all right. And others, you know, things that they wanted for Christmas. But can I ask you something? What do you want for Christmas? What would you like to receive? You know something, you may say, well, I'd like to have this and that. But brethren, what you and I need is to focus our attention on who God is and what God has given us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God has given us everything. Years ago, it reminds me of the story that I heard about a 90-year-old grandma who was sitting down and, boy, this year she was just a little bit tired at Christmas time, and no one trying to go shop for all of her children and grandchildren was just a daunting task. I mean, she just didn't think she had the energy for it, and everybody understood that. So she sat down one day and she had her Christmas cards there to all her children and grandchildren and all of her friends and family. And she addressed all of the cards, and then she took out her checkbook and she gave them all checks. And she wrote out the checks, and inside the Christmas card, she put this word. She put, Merry Christmas, I love you, please buy your own present. And that's what she put there. That was very thoughtful of her. Very nice. It was on time. It was a gesture of love. And no doubt everybody would understand that. But about a week after Christmas, she was going through some things, and she found all the checks that she had written that never got put in the Christmas cards. So can you imagine our child opening up and there's nothing inside it? Buy your own present, you know? And get your own thing, you know? Well, brethren, today, God did not allow us to be born into this world and then to say, you buy your own joy. You buy your own happiness. The Lord has provided everything that you and I need in Jesus Christ. And this morning, the true joy of Christmas. You know, this today we come to church and it's a little low attendance, usually around this time of the year. The attendance is high and all of that. And you know something, I have to remind myself as a pastor, I want everybody here because I want them to hear the Word of God. But the truth is, the true meaning of Christmas is the joy that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Mary spoke here, as Mary was thinking about God and His goodness, Mary could rejoice. In fact, you know that I believe in Luke chapter 1, this is the first Christmas carol ever sung. It was sung by the mother, Mary. She sung the first Christmas carol, and the Christmas carol was not about things or circumstances. It was about God and His goodness and His love. And brethren, this morning, because of our Savior, you and I have every reason to experience joy this Christmas season, not just for one day, but throughout the entire year, because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us moment by moment. He is our constant companion. He is our constant friend. Maybe you are experiencing a dark night season in your life at this time. Maybe relationships are not what they need to be. Maybe you're out of fellowship with a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a coworker. And your fellowship has been broken, and Christmas time reminds you about all of that. Maybe you've done everything you can to be at peace with someone, but there is no peace there. Can you still have joy in the midst of this dark night season? You know what I found? Night is no respecter of Christmas. In fact, yesterday across our nation, we find reports of people dying in car accidents. And I thought to myself how tragic that is, especially at Christmas time. But where can those people find joy? Oh, there is no happiness there. We understand that. There is great sorrow. There is great heartache. But brethren, if we understand who our Savior is, if we understand who our God is this morning, you and I can still have great joy. In fact, remember what Job said in Job chapter 35 and verse 10. Job talked about that we can have songs in the night. I'm reminded of Paul and Silas as they were in prison and they were singing. Now look here, I don't know if I could be singing in prison, but that's exactly what Paul and Silas, were they happy about being in prison? No. Were they happy about the stocks around their feet and their arms? No. Were they excited about the accommodations of prison? Absolutely not. But they could rejoice that God was there with them and that God was going to deliver them. And that night, in the midst of the nighttime, there was a song in the night. And brethren, no matter what you are dealing with, no matter what sorrow aches your heart, no matter what loss you may experience this morning, you and I can know the true joy of Christmas. It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we rejoice? Number one, we can rejoice this morning in God's faithfulness. Do you know that we have a God who is forever faithful to you and me? Now look here, we are not faithful as our God is faithful. Are we diligent always to pray and diligent always to live in the Spirit of Christ? No. But brethren, we have a Savior this morning who is faithful to you and me. You see, Mary's song was similar to another song that was sung by Hannah. Would you take your Bibles? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Now, we know of Mary's Christmas carol that she sang here about giving birth to this precious child. But I want you to go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And let's look in verse number 1 here. Here is Hannah. Hannah is rejoicing because God has answered her prayer. But what is Hannah rejoicing in? She is rejoicing in God. Now look, all of us this morning, we could file across this platform and we could say, well, here's what I'm thankful for at Christmas time. I'm thankful for my family, and we should be. I'm thankful for our church, and we should be. And I'm thankful for the health that I can be here. But what about if you have no family left? And what about if your health is so bad that you cannot go to church anymore? I mean, there are people all across this area that I go visit every week, and I see them and talk to them. They would give anything to be in church, but they cannot. Their bodies will not allow them. What about some that are struggling with financial crisis and maybe they lost their job, or maybe this has happened or that has happened? Hey, look, just this past week, I know of a pastor friend that had to resign his church just a couple of weeks ago because his wife left him. And I think to myself, this morning I woke up and I thought about him and prayed for him. And I thought to myself, how must that man feel? He's not a pastor anymore. He's lost his wife, his family, and he is in despair today, no doubt. Where is happiness? It's gone. There's no happiness there. There is no, his circumstances are just about as bad as they can get. But he can have joy this morning because you and I can rejoice in the faithfulness of our God. Our God is faithful to us. Look what Hannah said in 1 Samuel chapter 2. We look in verse number 1. The Bible tells us, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Here is Hannah. Hannah is rejoicing in God. She is rejoicing in who the Lord is. She says, "I will rejoice in his salvation." And brethren, this morning, you and I can rejoice in the faithfulness of our God. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is always faithful to hear our prayer. He is faithful to answer our prayer. He is faithful to forgive us. He is faithful to cleanse us. Our God never forsakes his own. Brethren, we can rejoice this morning in the faithfulness of our God. How is it that Hannah could rejoice in God's faithfulness? How is it that Mary could rejoice in God's faithfulness? Can I tell you? Their heart was so full of God. Do you know what I'm reminded of myself? When I am grumbling and complaining and I am not rejoicing, it is evidence that my heart is not full of God, and therefore full of God's Word. Take your Bibles, let's go to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. I'm reminded of what the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Faithful is he. We serve a God this morning who is faithful to you and me. He is faithful to us. You see, Christmas teaches us something. Christmas teaches us that true joy is not the absence of trouble. Now, by the way, you might sing Christmas songs, and there are songs out there that talk about how that our sorrow is far away and our troubles are not near, but it's just not really true. Because for many people, Christmas time does not erase their trouble. It does not erase their sorrow, their heartache, their loss. It doesn't do anything with that, because Christmas is not about having no trouble. It's not about everything being perfect, because it's not perfect. It's not about everything being right in its place, because it's not in its place. Christmas is all about the joy that we find and that we will forever have in our Savior this morning. We can rejoice in his faithfulness to you and me. Do you know that God is faithful to us? He is faithful to love us. You know that God never changes in his attitude toward you and me? That's a wonderful thing, is it not? Colossians chapter 3, the Bible tells us in verse number 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How is it that Mary could rejoice because her heart was so full of God? Can I ask you a question today? Do you have joy? I mean, I'm talking about that joy, that undescribable peace and that undescribable the contentment in your heart that you are rejoicing in God. If you say this morning, "Well, Pastor, I got a raise this year, and Pastor, the bills are paid, and Pastor, this has happened and that happened," that's happiness, but that's not joy. You say, "Well, Pastor, boy, I tell you, we were sick and everybody's taken care of and we had this disease and now it's gone and boy, I am so joyful." No, you're happy and we ought to praise God for those things and we ought to thank God for all the blessings in our life. But brethren, can I tell you something? True joy and true rejoicing is not in our circumstances and not in our blessings per se. It is in the fact that God is faithful to you and me. He is faithful to us. You see, Mary, in a sense, Mary was not joyful in her circumstances because they were not great. Mary was praising God for His presence in the midst of her circumstances. Christmas is not about the absence of trouble. It is about the presence of our God in each of our lives. Brethren, this morning there is a God in heaven who is closer to you than your very breath. He is near to you. He hears our prayer. He is our constant companion. You see, Mary spoke of the attributes of God. She talked about His mighty works. She talked about His kindness. She spoke of His faithfulness to keep His promises. And sometimes you and me, we slip into a state of hopelessness. And brethren, by the way, you and I, our hope is not in our country. It is not in some man. Our hope is in God this morning. That's where our hope is. Mary's joy was rooted in the very faithfulness of God. She was rejoicing in God's faithfulness in her life. Some of us, we may think that God has forsaken us. Have you ever thought that before? We all have. We need to be reminded in Hebrews 13:5, the Lord Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You see, that's where we can rejoice in His faithfulness. You and I may think that God cannot help us, that our trouble is too big for God. But may we be reminded in Hebrews 1:3 that all things are upheld by the word of His power. Listen, this world is upheld by God's power, His faithfulness. We might think that God does not care for us, but the Bible tells us clearly in 1 Peter 5:7 that we are to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you know there's a God in heaven today that knows you by name, that cares for you? He knows every detail of your life, and yet God cares for you and me. We may think that God will not sustain us. How am I going to be faithful? How am I going to make it through? The Bible promises in Isaiah 40:29 that He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. We might think that we are beyond the reach of God's comfort. But we are reminded in 2 Corinthians 1 that He is the God of all comfort. And who comforteth us in all our tribulation. What comfort do you need today? He is the God of all comfort. There is no comfort that He cannot provide. He can provide it all. We can rejoice today in the faithfulness of our God. Think about this. Who is your God today? He's your counselor. He is your deliverer. He is your redeemer. He is your savior. But He's more than that. He is your friend. Look here. How many has a friend that you would say is a close friend to me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? You know what? Friendship is something very wonderful. There's nothing like a friend. But brethren, you know the Bible says that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is our friend today. He is not only our friend, but He is our shepherd. He is our guide. He is our everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our blessed hope. He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in time of need. He is the light of life. He is the source of truth. That is our Savior this morning. That is how you and I can rejoice in the joy of remembering God's faithfulness to you and me. You say, Pastor, I don't have anybody left. I'm all alone. Oh, listen, you still have Jesus. Say, Pastor, this person has forsaken me. This friend has let me down. But Jesus will never let you down. You see, Mary could rejoice in the faithfulness of her God. And brethren, regardless of how black the night may be, regardless of what is going on in your life, Jesus Christ never changes. His love is constant and His faithfulness is unending. And brethren, in the darkest of times, we may doubt God's love and care for us. But brethren, if we get into the Word of God and God's Word gets in our heart, it will fill us with joy and rejoicing. We will be like Colossians 3:16 that talked about, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know what? So many of us, we are poor when it comes to God's Word in our heart. We have starved ourselves from God's Word, and that is why we complain. That is why we do not rejoice. But when our heart is full of God and full of His Word, we can rejoice in the faithfulness of our God. You see, the true joy of Christmas is rejoicing in His faithfulness. Number two, the last thing. The true joy of Christmas is not only rejoicing in His faithfulness, but rejoicing in God's glory in our life. You see, the second Christmas carol was sung by the angels. Now, I believe that Mary sang the first Christmas carol, but the second one was sung by the angels. Let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 2, and let's go to verse number 8. Luke chapter number 2, and we come to verse number 8. Notice what the Bible tells us. The angels are singing. What are they singing about? The Lord Jesus Christ. They are rejoicing in the glory of God. Can I tell you something today? The angels' whole job was to praise our Heavenly Father. In fact, we know that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, the angels are part of a choir who praise God for His wonderful and merciful plan of redemption. Listen, brethren, the whole reason Jesus came was to redeem mankind. Christmas is all about Christ. It's about God's faithfulness. But God was faithful to you and me, that He did not leave us in our lowest state. Remember what Mary said? Mary said that the Lord remembered her lowest state. Brethren, you and I have the lowest estate of all, and that is we were lost in our sin, and we would spend eternity in a place called hell forever, separated from God. But the Lord remembered you and me. And He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the angels could rejoice. And by the way, can I tell you something about the angels? They knew the whole plan. You see, the angels knew that little baby born in that manger, they knew the whole story. They knew what God was going to do. You see, they could see the big picture. And brethren, at Christmas time, you say, well, Pastor, my children are not here. My wife is not here. My dad is not here. My husband is not here. And this person has forsaken me. And this happened. And my health is not here. But Jesus is here. And brethren, if you understand the big picture is here on earth, our circumstances may not be what we want them to be. But brethren, we have all of eternity to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angels rejoiced that night. Look what they said, Luke chapter number 2. And let's notice what the Bible says about the angels as they were singing the praises in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, verse number 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Can I ask you something? Is there peace on earth? No. Is there goodwill toward men? No. So why is it that the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to men? Because the only peace and the only goodwill is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, we can rejoice in the glory of God, rejoice in who He is and what He has done in our lives and what He seeks to do. Can you imagine? It must have been incredible that night for the angels to watch as God became a man. Now think of that. They knew God like none of us know God. They've seen His glory. They've been in His presence. They have sang and rejoiced in the presence of God. But God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, became a man, humbled Himself, and took upon Him the robe of human flesh and dwelt among us. Can you imagine that night? They rejoiced in God's glory. Why? Because the glory of God, to give of Himself for you and me, to die on the cross so that we would not have to spend eternity separated from God. Christmas, the joy of Christmas is in the glory of God and is God's faithfulness to you and me. You see, the angels observed the unfolding events of Christmas from a different perspective than you and me. We might look at the circumstances. We might look at the barn. We might look at all the animals. We might look at the unsanitary things about the birth of Jesus. But the angels rejoiced because God became a man. The angels rejoiced because they knew that God came to redeem man, to die on the cross, to give of Himself. They knew what God was doing. And brethren, through the eyes of faith, even in our darkest days, even in the night time, we can have a song in the night because God is working all things together for our good, as Romans 8:28 says. And God is orchestrating all things. How can we have joy? We can joy that God is faithful. We can joy in the glory of God, that He is at work in each of our lives. Brother, I want you to take your Bibles in closing and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, the angel's message tells us that remembering God's eternal purpose will bring us joy. You know what's amazing to me? Those angels could rejoice because they knew what God was doing. They knew that God was sending Himself to mankind to walk among us, to live among us. He was here among us, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And the angels could rejoice. And brethren, you and I can rejoice in the faithfulness of God. Let's get our eyes on God and let's look at Him and what He is to us. Not what He has done necessarily or what He is going to do, but recognize who God is. He is faithful to you and me. And you and I do not deserve the faithfulness of our God. But let's rejoice in His glory for you and me. The glory is that God is working in our lives. He's working to make us more like Christ. And by the way, when He sees something in your life and in my life that is not like Him, He deals with it. Because the joy is found in the eternal purpose of our God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 17, notice what it says. It says, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, Christmas night delivered God's greatest gift to the world. And those who were first privileged to discover this gift unwrapped it with joy. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph on that night as baby Jesus was born? Think of the joy in their heart. God, became a man. The joy was not in their circumstances. The joy was not in the misunderstanding and the misrepresentation that Mary would face. Mary would be laughed at the rest of her life. Mary would be talked about. Mary would lose friendship. Mary would have all of these happen. But in her heart, she would know that God really did become a man. And in her heart, she knew that God would work all those things together for good. Brethren, this reminds us that even in the night seasons, we can have the joy of Christmas. Yesterday, I received phone calls, as I do every day. I receive multiple phone calls, people that called me, and I want them to call me. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me about this, and would you pray for me about that? Pastor, this happened and that happened. And, well, I thought to myself yesterday, Lord, there are so many broken hearts. There's so many burdens that we must bear and so many things that people are dealing with even now in this happy time of the year, you know, Christmas time. We're all supposed to be laughing and singing and all of that. But for some people, the happiness is no there, nowhere to be found. But brethren, you and I can steal joy today because the true joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember God's faithfulness today. Remember His glory in your life. And may we live our lives to exemplify the faithfulness of our God and to exemplify His glory. Can I tell you this? The glory that's found in your life is only in the glory of what God is doing and how God is working. And as we exemplify Christ, then we'll know the true joy of Christmas. Let's bow our heads in prayer.